morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. Today is Monday, February the 28th. And here are some of the stories we are covering for you this morning. As fighting in Ukraine enters its fifth day, thousands of African residents, mostly students living in many parts of the country, are looking for ways to cross into neighboring countries for safety.
So I've heard some students that they have reached now in the border of Poland also, but they are finding difficult to enter the border. Some of them, they have tried to change their routes to go to nearby borders like Hungary, Romania, and Slovakia, so that they can try to enter through those borders.
That is David Nsuya, a Tanzanian resident of the city of Kharkiv in Ukraine. We'll hear more about his plight ahead on the show. And Kenya is hosting the fifth session of the United Nations Environment Assembly starting today in Nairobi.
It is the United Nations Environment Assembly, and it will raise the attention to the whole world that it's time to act for nature.
And Malawi has received nearly 300,000 doses of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine under COVAX, the global initiative founded to foster equitable access to COVID-19 vaccines. We'll have those stories plus sports coming up right here on Daybreak Africa. Stay tuned. And for our top story, as fighting in Ukraine enters its fifth day, thousands of African residents, mostly students living in many parts of the country, have found themselves caught in the crossfire between the invading Russian forces and the local Ukrainian army defending its territory. Many of the students are now looking for ways to leave the country. However, since there are currently no flights out of Ukraine, many of them are living by road, trying to cross into neighboring countries like Poland. Others like David Nsuya, a Tanzanian living in the border town of Kharkiv, located 30 minutes to the border with Russia, are choosing to remain behind as they figure out the best way to safety. I reached David by phone, and he tells me that he hasn't left his house since the fighting broke out in his town. I reached him by phone. So, David, can you describe for us the general situation in your area?
Yeah, I'm now in the city of Kharkiv. The city of Kharkiv is situated at the eastern of Ukraine, and we have the border with Russia. It's like 30 kilometers from the border of Russia and the Ukraine. And the situation was, yesterday was deteriorated. Yesterday we had a lot of bombing outside, a lot of pounding bombing outside. But today we are just feeling that the situation has been calmed down compared to yesterday and the days before.
And have you been able to leave your house since the fighting started?
We have the martial law now. So we are trying not to go outside. And since Friday, I have not been outside. Since when I just left the site, I mean, last time it was Thursday or Friday. Since then, I have not gone outside again.
And how are you accessing information about what is taking place in your town or any news updates about the war situation?
I mean, we just get the information through different sources. We get through the news from the TV. We get the news from the internet, through YouTube, through WhatsApp and Facebook. But yesterday, when there was a confrontation yesterday, we didn't have internet. Some buildings I saw there was no light, but today I can see everything is okay. But I can see most of TV channels today are not available. But most of news and information we're getting from the internet for now.
So you haven't been outside since Friday. How were you able to find food and other basic necessities for you and your family?
Well, when it started on Thursday, immediately because this one, you know, it was a long time. It was a long time debating about this war. So when it started on Thursday, we rushed the shops and buy some foodstuffs, and that's what we have for now. That's what we are using for now. But I've heard that lots of people now, they are facing with a shortage of food because they have gone to supermarkets and they find that all the foodstuffs actually were not available now. So I think that for the short time to come, there might be some shortage of food in the shops and in the markets.
Now, David, have any of your friends left the country yet? And what are they telling you about their journey? We've been hearing stories of Africans, especially African students who have been attempting to leave the country, but are stopped at the border. What are they telling you about their ability to find safety in neighboring countries?
Yeah, I have one of my friends who started the journey with his family from Thursday. He just called me today that said that he has already, today is the evening, that's when he reached the border of Poland. So I've heard some students that they have reached now in the border of Poland also, but they are finding difficult to enter the border. Some of them, they have tried to change the routes to go to nearby borders like Hungary, Romania, and Slovakia, so that they can try to enter through those borders. Yeah, I'm trying to read the situation so that you also can try to leave if possible.
That was David Nsuya. He's a Tanzanian living in Ukraine in the border town of Kharkiv. I reached him by phone. Daybreak Africa continues. Malawi has received nearly 300,000 doses of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine under COVAX, the global initiative founded to foster equitable access to COVID-19 vaccines. This is the first vaccine donation this year after the country's stocks were depleted in December. The donation from Japan is part of about 2 million doses of AstraZeneca that Japan is prepared to send to Malawi. Lamek Masina has more from Blantyre.
Health authorities in Malawi say the donation is the first COVID-19 vaccine consignment from Japan to a country in sub-Saharan Africa. Malawi's health minister, Kumbize Kandodo Chiponda, says Malawi feels honored to receive the vaccine donation when it is needed most.
This is so timely because we have about over 700,000 Malawians who have already received the first dose of AstraZeneca. You're aware that we had our last consignment in December. By 31st of December, we finished all the doses of AstraZeneca which we had. So we haven't had any AstraZeneca from 1st of January.
So far, Malawi administers three types of COVID-19 vaccine: Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and AstraZeneca. However, the country has so far vaccinated only about 70% of the population amid continued vaccine hesitancy, largely stemming from misconceptions and doubts over its efficacy. However, the frequency of shipment of the 1.9 million doses Japan is keeping for Malawi will depend on Malawi's commitment in increasing vaccine use. Kandodo Chiponda said the condition is in line with the government's new arrangement.
You remember that last year in March, we had over 20,000 doses expiring on us. So what we have agreed with COVAX is that we should be getting them in packs. Otherwise, as government, we have already made procurement of over 2 million doses. But we are saying we don't want anything to expire on us. Our consumption rate is still very, very low.
Maziko Matemba is Malawi's national ambassador on health. He says the condition on the forthcoming vaccine donations should be a wake-up call to the Malawi's government to make sure it does not lose vaccine donations from other countries.
This is the first time that a donor has put a condition on the COVID vaccines which Malawi received as a donation. And this just shows that our partners who are supporting us on these vaccines, I think they have noted maybe that we're not doing much in terms of demand creation, but also the uptake.
The World Health Organization has called for each country to vaccinate at least 70% of their population by June. Malawi announced last month that it has set itself a target of vaccinating 50% by June.
As a country, we are behind our projections because we would have loved that at least by this time, we would have been talking of at least 15% of the eligible people to have been vaccinated. But we are way behind. And this is mainly due to vaccine hesitancy. It is still out there. people, some people that are still not yet convinced that they need to get the vaccine. So it is work in progress.
A recent UN report says although the COVAX facility has helped increase vaccine supplies in Africa, the continent is struggling to expand the rollout, with only 11% of the population fully vaccinated so far. But Kandodo Chiponda said the Malawi government is devising a plan which includes increasing an ongoing door-to-door vaccination campaign. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
Zimbabwean police Saturday used dogs and tear gas to break up the country's main opposition party rally as President Emmerson Mnangagwa delivered an address a few kilometers away and hindered. Columbus Mavunga reports from Gokwe, about 300 kilometers southwest of Zimbabwe's capital, Harare.
Police descended on thousands of unsuspecting members of the Zimbabwe Citizens Coalition for Change, waiting for their leader, Nelson Chamisa, to address them. The police used dogs and tear gas to disperse the rally for allegedly violating COVID-19 regulations, barring more than 100 people from gathering. Fadzai Mahere, spokeswoman of the Citizens Coalition for Change, was among them and blames President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
We saw a regrettable selective application of the law by the Zimbabwe Republic Police. So the police, on Mr. Mnangagwa's instruction, made an about turn and purported to prohibit our rally contrary to law and the constitution. No cogent explanation has been given for why our rallies were banned, whereas Mr. Mnangagwa's rallies are allowed to proceed. A further concern is the abuse, obviously, of COVID regulations as a weapon to shrink the democratic space. As the Citizens Coalition for Change, we continue to demand a level playing field.
Zimbabwe's Home Affairs Minister, Kazembe Kazembe, who is in charge of police, refused to comment Sunday. Zimbabwe holds by-elections on March 26 to fill some seats in parliament that have become vacant since the last election in 2018. Columbus Mavungam for VOA News, Gokwe, Zimbabwe.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's premier men's basketball league to bring you the second season of the BAL. It is game on March 5th, 2022. 38 games. 12 teams living it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs, and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Daybreak Africa continues. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Somalia has once again failed to meet the deadline for completion of its long-delayed elections. The country's National Consultative Assembly, which is chaired by Prime Minister Mohamed Hussein Roble, extended the deadline for completion of parliamentary elections to March 15th. The previous deadline was February the 25th. The U.S. swiftly reacted to this latest delay by imposing visa restrictions on a number of Somali officials, including regional leaders, suspected to be subverting the election process. Mohamed Sheikh Nur reports from Mogadishu.
In a press statement announcing visa restrictions targeting certain unnamed Somalis, the U.S. demanded rapid completion of parliamentary and presidential elections in a transparent and credible manner. According to the U.S. officials, the travel ban aims to promote accountability and punish Somali officials obstructing the election process. Some Somalis have welcomed the move. Hassan Barise, a prominent journalist and former BBC and AP correspondent, who is now running for president, supports the ban.
We appreciate the decision by the United States of America and we would equally appreciate every other effort which would support the Somalia's process in the elections.
Barise said the consequences of continued delays can create irreversible problems, destroying recent progress. Barise also feels more pressure should be applied by the UN, EU and other international partners to sanction individuals sabotaging the election process. Somali activist Mohamed Adi said even harsher penalties are needed.
It has been overdue for some time. United States of America and the rest of the international community has spent a lot of money to establish a democratic system in this country. A number of Somali politicians seem to be dragging their feet when it comes to have in this country indirect elections.
Adde said that the spoilers need to be named and face legal action. He acknowledged that the electoral process is slow and Somalis are fed up and there is urgent need for drastic action. In Mogadishu, there is widespread consensus about imposing visa restrictions on Somali leaders to prevent them from traveling to the U.S., where a large number of Somali politicians' families reside and sometimes hold dual citizenship. Somalis hope visa restrictions by the U.S. and other foreign countries will prompt local leaders to expedite the electoral process. Mohamed Sheikh Noor for VOA Mogadishu, Somalia.
And let's go to Eastern Africa in Kenya, where the country is hosting the fifth session of the United Nations Environment Assembly, which is taking place in Nairobi, both virtually and in person, starting today. This year's edition looks at matters such as marine litter, nature-based solutions, green recovery, and chemical waste management. The event, called UNEA 5.2, aims to call on the international community to curb environmental pollution, especially plastic litter. Moreno Jambo has more.
Since 2016, the United Nations Environment Programme's Frontiers reports have focused on emerging environmental issues. According to the UNEP, every minute an equivalent of one garbage truck of plastic is dumped into the world's oceans. The marine litter and plastic pollution are a danger to aquatic life, human health, and global economy. This global threat requires a global response, and the sessions of the United Nations Environment Assembly, UNEA, are important opportunities for governments and policymakers to act. The president of the group, Spain Aid, says member states are deliberating on proposals for handling environmental waste. The meeting also aims to establish an intergovernmental negotiation committee to work towards a legally binding global agreement.
On the 28th of February, we will gather in Nairobi, the only UN capital in the global south, for UNEA 5.2. It is the United Nations Environment Assembly, and it will raise the attention to the whole world that it's time to act for nature. And this UNEP, which is on the 50th anniversary, will have a particular focus on plastics and the need to move towards a global treaty on plastic litter.
Marine litter, and especially those coming from plastic products, affects millions of people's livelihoods, food security, and social well-being. Environmental activists say urgent multilateral action is needed to identify where plastic waste enters waterways. Aid says it's time for the world to act on nature.
We throw plastics into nature. We throw plastics into the ocean, plastic that we can see, but also plastic that eventually turn into microplastics and nanoplastics, is eaten by fish, and then we eat the fish and it ends up even in us. It's a major challenge to nature. It's a major challenge to global human health. All this will be on the attention of the Assembly, that we all come together to show that it's time to act for nature.
A report by the UN Environment Programme says of the estimated 11 million tons of plastic pollution that enter the ocean every year, nearly 3 million tons come from rivers. In 2017, Kenya outlawed single use of plastic bags, but there are still no laws requiring corporations that manufacture plastic bottles to clean up what they produce. The traders in Kenya are, however, still using the plastic carrier bags that were banned. Speaking to Kenya Citizen TV, Director General of Kenya's National Environment Management Authority, Mamoboru, said that Despite the efforts to control use of plastic bags, they are still finding their way to the country from neighboring states.
This is a banned plastic. We've been doing enforcement on this, and we are not sure whether this is from within the country or from our neighboring country. We do not have manufacturers now doing plastic bags in our country. The challenge we have is the porous border point, where because our neighbors have not banned the plastics, especially the carrier bags. So there is a likelihood that these bags get into our country.
The UNEP report says plastic accounts for 85% of marine litter, and warns that by 2040, volumes of plastic pollution flowing into marine areas will triple. The theme of the UNEA 5 meeting is strengthening action for nature to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. UN member states, businesses, civil societies, and other stakeholders are expected to agree on policies to address the world's most pressing environmental challenges. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Moreno Jembo in Sacramento, California.
And it's now time for Daybreak Africa Sports with Samson Omale. Good morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, Jackson. We begin the sport with results of matches played on Sunday in the CAF Confederations Cup. Morocco outfit RS Bakene bounced back from last weekend's stinging 3-1 defeat at the hands of ASEC Mimosa to beat Simba SC 2-0 at home and romp to the top of Group D in the CAF Confederations Cup. Elsewhere, Al Ahly Tripoli scored two late goals at the Martyrs of Benenia Stadium in Benghazi to beat Zambian side Zanaco 2-0 on Sunday and condemn them to a third successive defeat in Group A. In Group B, Orlando Pirates came from two goals down to thrash Eswatini's Royal Leopards 6-2 in Manzini on Sunday and stormed to the top of the group. Mandla Isikazi is an assistant coach with Orlando Pirates. He describes Eswatini's Royal Leopards as a very strong side.
A very good team, very physical, a police force team. You could see their structure, their conditioning, and how they play. They play in a block. Most games that they've played, you see them in a block. Very good when they shape with Msibe at right back, they shape with Masego at left back, Lamini center back, and Makakula, very resolute, very physical, and also in their defensive midfield.
Staying with the CAF Confederations Cup, Roland Okwuri scored with 3 minutes of regulation time left as AS Otoho Di Oyo beat Egypt's Al Masry 1-0 to move to second in Group C. Staying with Group C, Congolese Giants TP Mazembe beat Cameroon's Cotton Sports of Garoua 1-0 in Lubumbashi on Sunday to move top of Group C. Staying with football news, Kenya and Zimbabwe were last week banned by world governing body FIFA following interference by their various governments in the running of football in both countries. Former Zimbabwe footballer Shingi Kawedera says the ban comes with many positives for Zimbabwe football.
I think it's a very good move. It's a very good initiative by FIFA to ban Zimbabwe. I think Zimbabwe in football, we need to go back, we need to look at ourselves. We need to go back to the grassroots. There's a lot of corruption in the Premier League. I meet a lot of players, very good players. They are now playing in these rural areas because they are disappointed. They were disappointed up there because of the coaches. Most of the coaches, they are taking money from the players. They are taking bribes.
In cycling news, Eritrea's Nathaniel Testafazione has won the 14th edition of Tour de Rwanda, the biggest cycling race on the African continent. Testafazione won the race for the second time since 2020. Rwandan rider Moise Mugisha made history in this year's Tour de Rwanda by winning Stage 8, the first time a Rwandan has won a stage since 2018. And that's it on Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Jackson, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson, and have a great week. And that's it for this edition of Daybreak Africa. Well, thank you for spending this morning with us. For more African news and features, visit our website at voanews.com. Remember to connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook. Until next time, I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, wishing you a great week ahead, Africa.